verse 13. We began a series of lessons on the extreme importance of prayer. We talked about what prayer is and the necessity for it, why we should pray. We talked about what happens when we do not pray yesterday, morning and evening. Well, tonight we want to continue our study in prayer concerning how we should pray. How is it that we should pray? You see, millions of people misunderstand what it means to pray, how we should pray, the aspects, the things that should be included in every prayer that we pray. So that's the question we want to answer tonight. How should we pray? We should pray in the name of Jesus. In John chapter 14, verse 13, Jesus says, "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." The name of Jesus is absolutely essential in every prayer that we pray. Turn to John chapter 15, verse 16. John chapter 15, verse 16. Jesus says, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." Whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name. Turn to John 16, verse 23. John chapter 16, verse 23. In John 16, verse 23, he says, "And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full." Jesus says, you haven't asked anything in my name yet, but there's a time coming in which the only way you will have access to the unlimited power of God the Father is to ask in my name. God will only accept the prayers that are offered in the name of His Son. Did not Jesus tell us in John 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." That includes accessing the Father in prayer. No man can go to the Father in prayer without using the name of the Son. Colossians 3:17, "Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto God and the Father by Him." We must make our petitions, our requests, our supplications, our intercessions through the name of God's only Son, Jesus. It is essential in prayer. We must also pray according to the will of God. We must also pray according to the will of God. When Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, He said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Thy will be done. No matter what it is, no matter what we desire, let your will be done. We must pray according to the Father's will. Jesus not only taught us this, but He set the example for us. Turn to Matthew 26 and verse 36. Matthew 26, verse 36. Matthew chapter 26, verse 36. In Matthew 26, verse 36, the night Jesus was betrayed. Matthew 26, 36. The Scripture reveals to us, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane. And He saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. He took with Him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith He unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Not my will, but your will be done. Jesus set the example. He cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. You know, that is one of the most difficult things to include in prayer. Thy will be done. It is one of the most difficult things to include in prayer, especially when what we desire, what we are asking for, it may not be in harmony with God's will. That is the hardest thing to say. Lord, if at all possible, let the medicine work with this disease that I might be whole. But thy will be done, not mine. That's one of the most difficult things to include in prayer, but it must be included. It is further stressed in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. Turn to 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, where the Holy Spirit writes through the hand of John. 1 John 5, 14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. 1 John 5, 14. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Did you read that? What is it that we need in order for God to hear us? That if we ask anything according to His will. Verse 15. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. To ask in prayer that the will of God be done is just as essential, just as necessary as praying in the name of Jesus. It must be included in every prayer, no matter what prayer we are praying or what we are praying for. Thy will be done, not mine. We must pray with trusting faith. One of the aspects that must be included in acceptable prayer to God is trusting faith. Trusting faith associated with prayer is the confidence and firm persuasion that if we ask, He hears us. If we ask, we know that He is listening. We know that He cares. We are fully confident that God has heard and will answer our prayer. Now, there are three answers God gives to prayer. We're going to look at that Thursday evening. But we must have the confidence that God hears and answers our prayer. Look at James chapter 1, verse 5. Notice what the Holy Spirit writes concerning those who have no faith in God answering their prayer. James chapter 1, verse 5. Listen to what the Holy Spirit writes. James chapter 1, verse 5. James chapter 1, verse 5. James says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, let him make his petition to God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. What that verse tells me is that God wants us to ask. When we go to Him in prayer asking for wisdom, when we go to Him in prayer asking for anything, He's not going to respond harshly. He wants us to ask, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Let him ask with the full persuasion and complete confidence that what we have asked, He will answer. He will hear. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. You ever prayed a prayer like this? Father, I don't know if you hear me or not. I don't know if you're listening. I don't know if you care. But if you are listening and you will hear me, would you please do this in this situation? You ever prayed a prayer like that? The Bible says that God will not give you anything. A prayer like that, I don't know if you can hear me, that's the quickest way to have God not answer your prayer. We must have full assurance that God answers prayer. Jesus, it's interesting what Jesus taught us in Mark 11, verse 24. You remember what Jesus told us in Mark chapter 11, verse 24? He said, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. We must have full faith in God's power to hear and answer our prayer. If we do not, He will not. It's that simple. We must pray with wholehearted forgiveness. We must pray with wholehearted forgiveness. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Let's go back to Jesus' instruction on prayer. Matthew chapter 6, verse 12. Matthew chapter 6, verse 12. In Matthew 6, verse 12, as Jesus teaches us how to pray, in Matthew 6, verse 12, He says we need to include this line, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." We must pray with forgiveness of our enemies, with the forgiveness of those who have hurt us, who have sinned against us, who have done us wrong. It is a condition that God has placed on acceptable prayer. Look at verse 14. Jesus says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Did you hear those words? If you pray without forgiveness in your heart, if you pray holding a grudge against someone, God will not hear you. He will not hear you. We must forgive and forget. Turn to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Where Peter asks a question that prompts a parable, that causes Jesus to tell a parable. Matthew 18, verse 21. "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?" If my brother sins against me and he comes and says, "I'm sorry, I hurt you, I apologize, will you please forgive me?" Your response is, "Yes, I will forgive you." 5 minutes later, they do the same thing. They come back and say, "You know what? I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. I apologize. Will you forgive me?" And you say, "All right, this is the second time. I forgive you." He goes right around, does it again. How often do I do this before I don't have to forgive them anymore? Jesus saith unto him, "I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven." I used to think that 70 times seven was 149. I realize my math is a little off. 490 is what it is. But in any event, the idea is that it's unlimited. As many times as it takes. Whatever it takes, you forgive. And then he tells a parable. "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents." 10,000 talents. If that was gold today, it would be worth $50 million. Or $50 billion, I can't remember. $50 billion. That's what this man owed his king, his master. "But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had in payment to be made." You know what? Sell his family. "I'll get back as much of the debt as I possibly can and throw him in prison." "The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt." It's as if he never owed anything. It's as if he never borrowed any money. The debt was forgiven. It was gone. Wiped clean. The Lord had forgiven his debt. Continue. "The same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. That'd be about $3,200 today. What's that in comparison to $50 million? Not much. But that's what he owed. "And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. His fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." Sound familiar? "Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Give me a chance." He would not. But he went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. He threw him in prison. He wouldn't have the same mercy on his fellow servant that the Lord had on him. Verse 31. "When his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry. They came and told unto the Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? You should have forgiven him just like I forgave you." And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. But notice where Jesus takes this. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your heart forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. But God will do the same to you if you do not forgive your brothers and sisters in Christ. He will do the same to you if you do not forgive your enemies. We must pray with wholehearted forgiveness of anyone who has done us wrong, anyone who has made us feel bad, anyone who has sinned against us. I don't care who they are. I don't care what they've done. God has forgiven you. We need to forgive them. God has forgiven us. We need to forgive them from the heart. How does God forgive? How does God forgive? Does he keep an account? I mean, when he says your sins are forgiven, when you repent and confess them, your sins are forgiven, does he remember them? In Jeremiah 31, verse 34, God says to his people, I will forgive their iniquities and I will remember their sins forever and ever and ever. Read Jeremiah 31, 34. He says, I will remember their sin no more. Now, brethren, I'm not naive enough to believe that we can forget the wrong done to us. But when we see the person who has wronged us, we don't have to remind them about it. We don't have to treat them in such a way that they remember it. We don't have to hold a grudge and bring it up every chance we get. We don't forget what was done, but we treat them as if it never happened. That's what it means to forgive. If you do not forgive, God will not forgive us. It is one of the conditions of acceptable prayer. Have we been unwilling to do that? Acceptable prayer must include thanksgiving. Acceptable prayer must include thanksgiving. We should pray with thanksgiving. Turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 8. Romans 1, verse 8. I just want to go quickly through some of the prayers of Paul. Romans chapter 1, verse 8. What he tells us about his prayers. Romans chapter 1, verse 8. In Romans 1, verse 8, Paul says, first, I thank my God. The very first thing I do in my prayers is thank God. I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. First, I am thankful. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. Again, the Apostle Paul writing, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. I thank my God for you. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1, verse 15. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Again, we read the words of Paul. Ephesians 1, verse 15. Wherefore I also, Ephesians 1, 15, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. First, I thank my God for you. I thank my God for you. I cease not to thank God for you in all of my prayers. And we can just go on and on. Read Philippians 1, 3 through 5 sometimes. The same words concerning fellow Christians. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Turn with me there. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17. Very short verse. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17. Pray without ceasing. Verse 18. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. In every situation, be thankful. What happens if we face a situation that is unpleasant? What can we do? We can be thankful it's not worse. We can be thankful it's not worse. I asked someone the other day, how are you doing? He said, well, I'm above ground. That's something to be thankful for. That we have another day of life, another opportunity to serve God, to be faithful to Him. In Hebrews 13, verse 15, the Holy Spirit writes about Jesus who suffered without the gate. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, the Holy Spirit says, by Him therefore, that is by Jesus Christ, by Him therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. How do we do that? That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Are we continually praising and thanking God for all of His marvelous blessings? It's one of the ways that we should be praying. How should we pray? With thanksgiving. How should we pray? We should pray as Jesus instructed. We should pray as Jesus instructed. I'm particularly talking about the instruction given in Matthew 6, verses 5 through 8. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. I want you to pay close attention to what Jesus says in these next few verses concerning prayer, how we are to pray. Matthew 6, verse 5. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. Do not be like the hypocrites are, who pray in public places, who pray on the street corners and in the synagogues to be seen of men. This was a major problem in Jesus' day. People live to be seen of men. In Matthew 23, verse 14, that's what the whole rebuke about was about against the scribes and the Pharisees. In Matthew 23, 14 specifically, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses and for a pretense to put on a show make long prayers. Therefore, you shall have the greater damnation. To put on a show, you make long prayers. In John 12, verses 42 and 43, we read about chief rulers who believed on Jesus but would not confess Him because of the Pharisees, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. They wanted to be seen of men. They wanted to be heard by men. So they used their vain repetitions. And they used their long prayers to put on a show. Let me show you one of the greatest prayers ever prayed. 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 36. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 36. First Kings chapter 18, verse 36. We read it about a time when God had had enough. He had had enough of Israel's idolatry. He had enough of their false god worship. And He sent Elijah to King Ahab. And Elijah said, look, let's go up to Mount Carmel. You call the prophets of the high places and the prophets of Baal, 850 prophets. Let them build an altar and call on Baal. And let me build an altar and call on God. The God that answers by fire, let Him be the God of Israel. He's had enough. They said, okay. They gathered all Israel and the 850 prophets of Baal and the 850 false prophets. They cried for hours. They began to cut themselves until the blood rushed out. And nothing. They were making long prayers. Look at 1 Kings 18, 36. It came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. The scripture says, then the fire fell. But I want you to see Elijah's prayer. How long do you think it took to say those words? One of the greatest prayers ever prayed, 63 words. Maybe just a couple of minutes. And it was one of the greatest prayers ever prayed. The point I want you to understand is that when we're called to pray in a public assembly, when we're called to pray, maybe outside the church, in a public gathering, make sure that we have the right attitude in addressing God. Let us make sure that we're not praying just to be seen of men, but that we're praying in sincerity to be heard of God. In Ecclesiastes 5, verse 2, we should not ignore this truth. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 2, be not rash with thy mouth. Be not hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou art on the earth. Let thy words be few. Let's learn the lesson Jesus wanted us to learn. May we always pray to God in sincerity. This is one of the ways that we should pray, as Jesus instructed. We should also pray without ceasing. We need to pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, we read it just a few moments ago. Pray without ceasing. What's that mean? Well, it means a couple of things. First of all, it can mean to establish a prayer time and then do not be moved from it. Establish a set time for prayer and do not be moved from it. Turn to Daniel chapter 6. The book of the prophet Daniel, chapter 6, verse 4. Daniel chapter 6, verse 4. Daniel chapter 6, verse 4. In Daniel chapter 6, Darius is the king over the Medo-Persian Empire at this point. The Babylonian Empire is no more. It was conquered by the Medes and Persians. Darius had several counselors and chief scribes, if you will, of whom Daniel was first. He was the chief counselor of Darius, if you will. In Daniel 6, verse 4, we read that the other presidents, the other counselors, they were jealous. They didn't like Daniel. Daniel 6, verse 4. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Daniel was faithful to the king. He was faithful in his responsibilities as the chief counselor. He was faithful in everything that he did. Not one thing they could find that he did wrong. Not one act of bribery that he took. He was faithful. And they knew that. Notice what else they knew. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. These people knew that as faithful as Daniel was to the king, he would be more faithful to his God. And they exploited that. They exploited that. Verse 6. These presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents. That's a lie. Daniel was not included in this. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god, remember petition is a prayer, ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. A couple of things King Darius. First of all, he didn't consult Daniel, the man he trusted the most. The second thing is, he fell prey to flattering lips. He fell prey to flattering lips. He sat back and said, man, I'll be the most important man for 30 days in all of the world. And he happily signed the writing. Notice what happened in verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime, as was his custom. Not even the threat of death would move Daniel from his sweet hour of prayer. What moves us from ours? Daniel was threatened to being eaten by lions, and he still prayed 3 times a day. Some of us don't even do that, and we're not threatened. We're not threatened. What keeps you from praying to God? Well, I have children, I have work, I have a husband, I have a wife, I have responsibilities. Yes, you do. And wouldn't it be great to take those responsibilities to God in prayer? Some people find it peaceful to pray in the morning before kids get up. They get up early, they can pray to God without any interference. Some people find it easier when they put their children to bed at night to pray unto the God of heaven and earth, to make their requests known unto Him. Whatever you are most comfortable with, the one thing we must be is men and women of prayer. That's what it means to pray without ceasing. Set up a prayer time and do not be moved from it. The other thing it means is to be ready to pray at any moment. Nothing is guaranteed in this life. We need to be prepared to pray at any time for anything. We should always have a prayerful attitude. Brethren, do you remember the definition of prayer? Prayer is the desire of the heart expressed in words uplifted to God the Father. Prayer is a privilege reserved for us who are Christians. Are we wasting our privilege? Are we wasting it? We need to pray without ceasing. How should we pray? Without ceasing. How should we pray? Fervently. We should pray fervently. Turn to James chapter 5, verse 16. James chapter 5, verse 16. James chapter 5, verse 16. We need to pray fervently. James 5, 16. The Holy Spirit instructs us. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effectual fervent prayer. To pray fervently. What's that mean? We read it. We hear it. What's it mean? The definition of fervently is intently, strenuously, earnestly, that which is not relaxing in effort. Turn to Luke chapter 22. Jesus is an example of praying fervently. Luke chapter 22. It's the same account or the same situation. Jesus, the night of his betrayal in Gethsemane. But I want you to notice what Luke tells us. In Luke 22, verse 42. Luke chapter 22, verse 42. Listen to what Luke tells us about this situation. Luke 22, verse 42. It says that he went about a stone's cast, and he kneeled down and prayed, saying, Luke 22, 42, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, intently, strenuously, fervently. He prayed the more earnestly, and his sweat was at one great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Brethren, it is a medical, scientific fact that a person in extreme situations of emotional stress can literally sweat blood. Now, I know the Scripture says it's as it were, great drops of blood. But I'm telling you, it's possible that it was. Have we ever prayed to that point? About your family? Your friends? Your co-workers? Your neighbors? Your enemies? Those who are lost? Have we ever even considered praying this way? Fervently. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1. There's another good example of this. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1. In 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1, the scripture tells us that Hezekiah, and if I'm not mistaken, was king of Judah at this point. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. The prophet Isaiah, remember him? The son of Amos came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. You're going to die. Set your house in order. He turned his face to the wall, and he prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. You think this man didn't pray fervently? You think this was just an arbitrary prayer? Oh, come on, God, don't do this to me. Don't take my life now. No, sir. This was an effort-filled, strenuous, intense desire of the heart. Notice what happened. It came to pass, before Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Turn again, and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord, and I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. God answered his prayer. I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Don't tell me the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man does nothing. Don't tell me God doesn't hear and answer prayer. The effectual, fervent, intent, strenuous prayer avails much with God. He answered Hezekiah's prayer. Fervent prayer, if I can describe it for you, is all of our love, all of our faith, all of our sorrow, all of our grief, all of our hope, all of our joy, all of our life poured out into one agonizing prayer unto the God who can help. Have we ever prayed that way for anything? Have we ever prayed that way for anything? Brethren, these are just some of the things that need to be included in prayer. When someone says, How should we pray? Give them these answers. Give them these answers. How should we pray? Perhaps there's more than we realize. Perhaps there's less. I'm done. If you have any questions, feel free to ask. I will do my best to give you a Bible answer, but I warn you now, I don't know it all.